all your friends when you tell them you were right there with the president. I guess, they said in unison, equally unenthusiastic. Teenagers, thought Sylvia. Able 1, cockpit. Lieutenant Colonel Karen Christopher came through the cockpit hatch without needing to duck and slid easily into the pilot's seat. It was still misty gray outside, but visibility was good enough for takeoff. She remembered one of the older jocks telling her that when the 747 was first introduced to the commercial airlines, the FAA had to raise its ceiling limits for takeoffs because the huge plane's cockpit sat so high above the ground it was sometimes in cloud, while the ground was clear enough for smaller planes to take off. As she pulled the safety harness over her slim shoulders, her co-pilot, Major Kaufman, squeezed into the cockpit and settled his bulk into the right-hand seat, red-nosed and sniffling. "That's some cold you've got," said Colonel Christopher. "Alaska," he said. She thought it sounded sullen. Major Kaufman did not like the fact that Karen had been jammed down his throat by headquarters, forcing him to relinquish command of the plane. He sneezed wetly. "That's right," Colonel Christopher grumbled silently. "Spread your damned cold to the rest of us." She pulled her plastic flight helmet over her short-cropped hair and plugged it into the communications console. "You want me to take her out?" Kaufman asked. Christopher realized that the Major knew she had only a half dozen hours of piloting a 747. "I'll do it," she said tightly. "I can fly anything that has wings on it, Obi." She saw his eyes flash again. He doesn't like his nickname, she realized. But Kaufman said only, "You're the boss." She said nothing. "Stick to business," she told herself. "He'll just have to get used to being in the right-hand seat." "Able 1 ready to start engines," she said into the pin mic that nearly brushed her lips. Out of the corner of her eye, she watched Kaufman as he pulled up the takeoff checklist on the control panel's central display and started scrolling it down the screen. "Able 1, you are clear to start engines," said the flight controller's clipped voice in her earphones. Turning to Kaufman, she said, "Spool him up." With a bleary nod, the Major murmured, "Starting 1. As the first of the plane's four turbojet engines whined to life, the flight controller called, "Able 1, message incoming for you from Andrews." Colonel Christopher felt puzzled. "Andrews Air Force Base? Relayed from the Pentagon." "Better pipe it to me," she said. A series of clicks. Then a mechanical voice started dictating a formal military order. Computer-synthesized audio, Colonel Christopher realized. The voice droned through the date, routing, and classification level. Top secret. Then it said, "From Major General Bradley B. Scheib, Deputy Commander MDA, to Lieutenant Colonel Karen R. Christopher, Command Pilot ABL-1. A nuclear device apparently launched from North Korea has been exploded in orbit. All commercial satellites have been either knocked out completely or seriously degraded. You will proceed to a site to be designated over the Sea of Japan and orbit until further orders. Navigational information is being transmitted in a separate order. You will avoid violating territorial airspace of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea and/or the People's Republic of China. You will attack and destroy any ballistic missiles launched from DPRK. Confirm receipt of this order immediately." Christopher looked at Major Kaufman, who sat wide-eyed and suddenly pale. Swallowing hard, she said into her mic, "Order received and understood. Please confirm to General Scheib." "It's going to take a little..."